This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. What would you do if you saw a headline that told of a 5-year-old girl who died in a laundromat washing machine? Would you see the headline and turn the page? Would you read the first couple of paragraphs and turn away? Maybe you'd read the whole thing, but then try to put it out of your mind as soon as you could. Well, theater director Michael Chamberlain saw just such a story in the Washington Post, and he could not get it out of his mind. His ruminations on the girl's death inspired a one-woman play called Washing Machine. Chamberlain's New York-based theater company, Fist in the Pocket, produced the off-off-Broadway play, and it immediately won high praise from critics. And actor Dana Berger won a New York Innovative Theater Award for her solo performance. Washing Machine is playing now at Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham, and joining me now in the studio are Michael Chamberlain and actor Dana Berger. Welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Hi.
Thank you, Frank.
Michael, tell us a little bit about this newspaper story and how it got you involved in creating a play.
Well, I was wrapping dishes to move to New York. I was packing, and I had just scrap newspaper lying around. And I started pulling the sheets of newspaper to wrap the dishes, and I saw this particular story. And I just started reading it, and I didn't stop reading it. And after I finished, I said, this has to be a play, it has to be on stage, and it should be a one-woman show. And that's all I knew. Everything after that was trying to figure out how to do that.
What was it in this story that, as I suggested, may have horrified and repulsed others to the point that they wouldn't have finished, that made you think that this had, I mean, certainly it has dramatic possibilities,
right?
You can see that, but you obviously don't want to descend into some kind of exploitation or voyeurism of the worst kind, but you saw this with artistic possibility.
Right. Well, there were two sort of storylines going through the article. One is what the mystery of what happened. How could this horrific event occur? And the people in the town trying to figure out how it occurred. And then the idea of blame. The town trying to understand how such a thing could happen and maybe who might be at fault. So the character of the town began to emerge. So that, combined with the actual mystery of how it could have happened, the two of those ideas made me think, okay, this is stage worthy.
We should probably give a few more of the details. A little girl, 5 years old, laundromat, her stepbrother was watching her. Fill us in on a few other details.
Apparently, the stepbrother was watching her, and the mother might have been outside on a payphone. So they're not sure, was she supervised, was she not, who was supervising her, who wasn't. But it also, that article made me do more research, and unfortunately, this event has happened before. So this article was just sort of a touchstone for me learning more about these unfortunate tragedies and doing more research. And there was one incident that happened just a couple of months ago. Somebody had sent me an email and it happened again.
And there's a suggestion, at least in the play, that it's the same kind of machine. So it's not just, there's something about this machine, perhaps.
Well, not a particular brand name or a specific
make.
It's just that these triple load machines in a laundromat, you know, they have a lock.
Mm.
You know, when you put your clothes in and your money and you shut the door and it locks. Somebody were in the inside, they couldn't push it open.
So we're getting some of the details and some of the ways that you're drawn into the story, and you've created 8 characters. Tell us a little about them.
We have 8 characters. We have the little girl, the central character, and then we have the nucleus of the family. We have the mom and the stepbrother. And then we have some town folk. We have created a laundromat owner, a flower salesman who is an old-timer in the town, has seen the town through harder times. Has seen people come and go. He's somewhat of a commentator. And then there's an insurance adjuster that comes into the town to sort of solve the case. And that person, the adjuster, is an important connection for the audience because she sort of provides the facts or the exposition that the audience needs to follow.
And has a particular point of view on sort of how this, what this means, the meaning of this loss
yes.
of this particular life. Well, Dana Berger, you're having to play all of these eight characters.
Yes.
What, first of all, what drew you to this role?
Or these roles, I should say. Yeah, right. Well, I think the story is very poignant, and something about the cast of characters is very diverse, and the chance to play all of them in one night is usually something that an actor wouldn't turn down. So I was really excited that Michael and Jason Stewart, the playwright, offered me the role.
Will you read something for us now?
Yeah, I'm going to be reading a section of the laundromat owner and then the machine company president. We got the camera cheap, so doesn't work all the time. Doesn't see the whole place. Police still want to see the tapes. I don't know what they show. I guess that could be the other witness. There's no way she shat herself inside that machine. The water, the pressure. Door has to be shut and latched from the outside. The police said they were surprised how long the wash cycle had gone before they got her out. I've been thinking about what it cost to put that camera in and what it would have cost to have the machine refitted. Wouldn't have been much more. I was trying to get my insurance premium down. They told me to put in a camera. It's the cost of doing business in this day and age. It's the cost of doing business. Who can be here the whole time? We unlock at 7 a.m. and lock down at 10 p.m. This is going to end me. I can't keep the place open with a hit like this. As the paramedics carried the girl's little body out, I saw that pink handkerchief lying on the floor in a pool of water from the machine, soaked and torn.
Dana Berger reading a selection from a play currently running at Man Bites Dog Theater. Dana, did you feel the need to get into the details of the story to play all of these characters? Or did you feel like that the play itself should inform those roles?
I thought it was more important to stay in the world of the play, quite honestly, because we were creating a lot of facts for this circumstance. And it was more important that we understand what it is that we were trying to communicate as an artistic piece rather than having anything to do with the technicalities of it.
But Michael, how about you? As a director, did you feel the need to then do primary research, or were the ideas generated just from that first story the real foundation for this?
The actual tragedy was generated from the first story and in reading about, you know, the other tragedies that have occurred. But putting together the town and its characters was myself and the playwright. You know, the play needs to be entertaining. It needs to have levity. This, you know, often people think when they've seen before they come and see the play, they think, oh, it's going to be this heavy, voyeuristic, very difficult piece. But it is also quite fun because there's great humor in these characters. And the stepbrother is a very a fun character, and he's dealing with a lot of teenage angst that the audience can connect to. So it's not entirely, you know, totally heavy.
Right, but it is, I mean, I have to say, it is raw. The language
yes,
is raw,
yes.
And certainly the themes, and we do see the girl in the very opening scene of this, and she's heard throughout the play. So what are some of the ideas then that animate this for you? What are some of the thoughts that you had as you developed this that you'd like an audience to come away with?
Well, because no one will really know what it was like for the girl, what she experienced in the machine. There's no way for anybody to know that. Now, some people may say, good, I don't want to know what she experienced. As a director and an audience member, I say that's the one thing I'm interested in. So figuring out what she might have experienced technically and emotionally and then figuring out how to put it on stage was an enormous challenge. The drowning itself may be the biggest challenge of the whole piece. And this is not a realistic play. It's abstract. The set is a beautiful set of plexiglass, metal, and hanging water bags. So that in itself is very inviting when the audience comes in. But figuring out how to dispel the information, the narrative to the audience, little bit by little bit, to give them just enough to move them forward, but to not get all of the facts out so early. So we're shifting back and forth a little bit in time, and some characters contradict each other. The structure, there are 30 scenes, and characters reoccur, so sort of figuring sort of the groundwork for the plan for the whole thing. Mm. It was very tricky too.
Lighting is a very important part of this too, and I think it works very well at least in the video that I saw. And but Dana, I wonder, there's a kind of a Rashomon effect in all of this, in that the story is in a sense told from different points of view and with different agendas. For you, is it, it's always hard to keep 8 characters apart, I'm sure, and a challenge and a delightful one, I guess, when you pull it off. But the question of sort of how much has been revealed, and no, wait, we haven't, this character really hasn't acknowledged that thing that the character 40 lines ago just spelled out as fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I would imagine that, does that take some craft work for you? Do you have a technique for segregating those ideas?
Well, we've spent a lot of time talking about each little scene and what this scene means in the context of the character's arc, each character. So at this point, I mean, when I go out there, I'm not thinking about that. But but I do know what's happening and what's building for each character at each moment. And there is definitely a sense of building for
a foreboding
every character.
Yeah, it is a bit like having 9 chess games going out at once.
Yes.
In that sense, that you sort of have to go back to that board and remember what those players were, how they were set when you left them.
Yes.
So we just heard now from the owner of the laundromat, and we can hear her concern. It's a very deep business concern. You're going to put me out of business. And now there's the washing machine company owner, and you can read another scene for us and give us a sense of, and tell us anything we need to know to set it up.
This is just the president of the machine company, and he's just come to town. There were other children. 4 others have been injured under similar circumstances. There has been 1 fatality. What were they doing inside the machines? Where were the parents? Where was the care? Where was the supervision? Had any of these children been supervised, these tragedies would never have played out. It's preposterous that my company should bear any responsibility. There's a small picket line that has formed outside our manufacturing offices. Signs telling us that we are criminals. My God. Have we become so entitled? Have we become so self-righteous? I will not apologize for what we do here. We are not criminals. We are not monsters. This is ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous. We build here. That's what we do. We roll up our sleeves. We build. If we have room, we build out. If we don't have room, we build up, but we build. We make no apologies for that. We maximize profits. We minimize taxes. We roll up our sleeves and we, like a religion, we practice. We practice America.
That was one of the first scenes that was written. And incidentally, this character of the machine company president only appears once. And the other characters appear many times. And that was his scene. And that writing, especially at the end about we build here and we practice America, that just grabbed me by the throat. That was one of the first scenes that was written. And it hasn't changed that much, actually.
Why do you, blame, though, is an important part. I mean, his suggestion that we're blaming the company and you shouldn't, that's certainly an important theme in this entire play.
The characters are trying to reconcile what happened. So they're looking to blame. They're looking to find out who's at fault. But what's interesting, we feel, the creators of this piece, that we are not laying any particular blame on anybody. Mm-hmm. And that was a very conscious decision. We draw conclusions from it. And we have our own point of view about it. But We are not saying, oh, this person is at fault. Right. This person made this happen.
No, for me, I think part of the genius of this play is precisely that, is that what it really leaves you understanding is how poor your understanding can be and how poor it is, what poverty there is in trying to assemble facts.
Right.
When tragedy is well beyond fact, and so it's simply a human response. And so what we see in this play are humans responding to tragedy in the way that we do, trying to draw faces in the cloud, make a storyline that has an ending, and that's going to need somebody to blame. Right.
Right.
So how did you avoid that tendency of even the creator to say, let's blame somebody?
Carefully.
Yeah.
You know, we've done
did
the...
Did you find it creeping in the process? right? I mean, they have to write it out?
A little bit.
Yeah.
We've done the production twice before, and we're constantly tweaking it, rehearsing it, adjusting little things. So, I don't know. It was very important to me from the beginning that we not blame anybody. And for me, as an audience member, I want to see something where... it isn't so cut and dry. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of theater I like to do and I like to watch. I don't want all the answers given to me. So
also, I think I've been involved with this process from an earlier point that most actors would come on. And so as an actor, it's really important not to blame the character that you're playing or not to feel like you're passing judgment on them. So I think our discussions together and having my point of view as an actor saying with each character, well, I think they're thinking this and all this stuff, definitely also helped us stay grounded in that sense that we weren't attacking any of them.
Why put all of these characters into one actress? Why not have eight separate actors?
It's a question that a lot of people have asked. It just seemed to me after I read that article and I started doing research and finding out about these tragedies, theatrically, it should be one woman and she should tumble around in the machine. And as she tumbles around, she should become different characters. Mm. As an artist, I knew, okay, that's a definite. I'm unwavering in that. Other things I didn't know. How are we going to do that? What do you mean tumble around?
Right.
I mean, it's not a realist. There's not a real machine. So how are we going to tumble? But just sort of as a starting point, I just knew it had to be a one-woman show.
The other theme that comes through in this, too, is this idea of not wanting to look into the heart of darkness, of turning away from the headline. What's been audience response? How have they responded to this? Do they come? Do they tell you, I'm not going to see that play? It's just too grisly for me.
Well, we had a great first night last night at Man Bites Dog. Our first audience is highly responsive, very involved in it. You know, it's also you mentioned the lighting. The lighting design won, got a Drama Desk nomination very recently. So the lighting certainly helps. It's beautiful. So when they come in the theater and they see what it looks like in front of them, it's not terrifying. It's inviting. We've tried to make the grisly and the horrific beautiful, and the two can coexist.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy, but you have a performer like Dana, she's inviting. She's right there with the audience. They like her. She's likable. That carries a lot of the show.
I think there is no greater invitation to the beauty of humanity than through the lens of tragedy. And I think you've done a great job. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you.
My guests have been actor Dana Berger and director Michael Chamberlain. They're in Durham to present the Fist in the Pocket's one-woman play, Washing Machine. Shows continue this weekend and next Wednesday through Sunday at Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham. ManBitesDogTheater.org is the website for ticket information. Next up, the Wells Family Band. Stay tuned.